Hello, my darling. Just before you get into this episode, I'm so excited to tell you about Supercharged, my four-week mini mind for the coach that is ready to build her coaching empire on a foundation of confidence and credibility. Because I know you've got a rockstar coaching business on your vision board, and I know that you want to do everything that it takes to make it a reality this year. So in 4 weeks, we start on June the 17th, I'm going to be taking you through the steps to build your rockstar coaching business on a foundation of confidence and credibility. We're talking getting your niche nailed, getting your messaging nailed, building a gorgeous personal brand, creating a flagship offer and a lead magnet that is the runway to that offer. Now, some coaches take months or even years, or they never actually get all these things in place. But I'm going to do that with you in 4 weeks inside of Supercharged, my amazing mini mind. Welcome to Zero to Rockstar Coaching Business, the podcast for coaches that want to bring consistent clients into their orbit. I'm your host, Leanne Sear, business coach and hype woman, ready to help you step into your big deal energy and close the gap between qualifying as a coach and creating the impact, income and freedom that you know you're meant to have. Let's do this. Hello, my darling. Welcome to this week's podcast. We are going to be diving deep into money mindset, because what I'm hearing from so many of you is that your money mindset is not tip top, and you might have done a little bit of work on money mindset, but it could be that one thing that is cock blocking you from bringing dreamy clients into your orbit. And we can't have that, can we, babes? So stay tuned, because I have Emily Nutley joining me this week, and she is a money coach working with female professionals and business owners to empower them to take charge of their financial future and build generational wealth. Hell yes to that. Having been in the financial education space for 3 years, Emily realized that there was more to simply teaching people how to budget, and found that the real key to building wealth is through healing your relationship with money. Emily combines financial strategy with money mindset work and uses a trauma-informed approach to help you finally feel good about money. Emily, darling, welcome to the podcast. Miss Emily Nutley, I'm so excited that you are on the podcast today. You are my all-time favorite money coach and one of my most favorite humans on the planet who wears the best clothes.
I'll be a famous human as well. Why not?
I know, be a famous human.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Today, we're going to be chatting all about unfucking our money mindsets, because you and I both know that if your money mindset is fucked, you're going to really find it hard to get traction in your business. So we're going to dive deep into that. We're going to be hitting you up with loads of truth bombs and aha moments, because this could be a huge factor in maybe why you don't have the business that you know that you're meant to have.
Yeah, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we don't think of, or we're not aware of. Like, we have no education around, like, we're very much taught that money is like a numerical thing, and, like, you know, it's all related to what is in your bank account. And actually, there's so much that goes on in your brain behind every single financial decision that if you're not aware of that, it can lead you into an alignment or not achieving your, like, true potential, being stuck. So yeah, it's really important to understand how money mindset works, where you've gained a lot of your money beliefs, and learning how to challenge them.
Hell yes to that. I find that a lot of people think they've done money mindset work when really they haven't even scratched the surface of it. Emily, do you see that as well?
Yeah, I think actually going back to when we first spoke about money mindset, you know, you said, oh, well, yeah, I've done that stuff in the past. It doesn't apply to me, was almost like the vibe. Because we were talking about the money story stuff. And you were like, well, you know, my parents didn't talk about money, so I don't really have anything. And I've had similar conversations with other business owners where they're like, well, like, we did okay growing up, blah, blah, blah. But usually just reading a little bit more into that, even though it feels like there isn't like this deep, dark story around money, there's usually something there that is potentially hindering your process or stopping you from being rich AF.
Yeah. And I think that with me, I dived into my money mindset on a very surface level, and I always stumbled when with that question, like, what did your parents say about money? And I know a lot of people are like, oh, my parents said money doesn't grow on trees, or you've got to work hard for your money. I got stuck with that question because my mum, I'm from a single parent family, my mum, money just wasn't a thing, and not because we had an abundance of money. It's just that we never really spoke about it. So I didn't know what I was trying to figure out or what belief or thought I was trying to break through, because it just wasn't spoken about. And I was stuck until I spoke to you about it, Emily, with my money mindset. Yes, I've had huge success in my business, but I definitely, like, we could always go at the next level, right? And I feel like I didn't know what was going on with my money mindset until I spoke to you, and you were like, do you want to say the exact words, Emily?
I said, well, this makes a lot of sense. If money wasn't talked about in your childhood, then you're going to continue that throughout life, not talk about money, not think about money, and become financially avoidant.
Yes. And that was me. I was financially avoidant. And I don't think that many people are talking about that. Can you talk through what being a financially avoidant person might look like?
It typically looks like not wanting to look at your anything to do with your finances. Kind of that idea of like, what I don't know can't hurt me. So not looking at bank statements, credit card statements, not looking at bills, or like maybe you track your finances, but it's very much at like a glance just to make sure that there's like enough to cover the bills and not much planning beyond that. Very much like the less I look at money, the better and the safer I am. It's all about feeling that safety around money, because money does feel unsafe for a lot of us.
I used to treat my bank balance like looking on the scales, weighing scales. Like, I don't have any scales in my house, because whenever I would look at them, I don't have issues with size at all, but I know that I would expect to be disappointed. And I think that historically that is what I've expected from my bank account. And it was really interesting that last year, I think it was in August, I'd signed a lot of clients in August, and my own coach was like, Leanne, how much have you actually brought into your business this month? Because you've signed like 5 or 6 clients. And I was like, shit, I don't know. And then when I totted it up, it was 14K that I generated in sales. And I had no idea. In my brain, it could have been 2. Do you know what I mean? I just had no idea that it was that amount until my coach was like, Leanne, have you hit 10K yet? And I was like, I don't know. I remember being in a car park about to go into TK Maxx and was like, holy shit, I'd surpassed that holy grail of 10K. I'd got to 14 and I didn't even know, because I'm financially avoidant. So not only are you avoiding the bad news, you're also fucking avoiding the good news, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of it also comes down to this narrative of money being all about numbers. So it almost feels like in my head, because obviously you must know how much you charge for your services, and then you also know how many people you sign. So I think for many people listening, it might be like, well, I can just do quick maths and work out how much I've done. But actually, because so many of us tie money into numbers, and maybe, I mean, I don't actually know about this for you, but definitely I was in like bottom set maths. I was like, always like, my whole thing is I'm bad at maths. Like, I can't do maths. Even to this day, as a money coach, I tell people I can't do maths. Like, yeah, any, you ask me a numerical question, blankness. And that is also part of that financial avoidance. It's like, well, you don't want to think about it at all. So literally just your brain just blanks out that information. And that is how you get to a point where you're like, I know how much I charge for my services, and I know how many people I've signed, but I don't actually want to work it out, because like you say, like, there's that fear around money, and actually not knowing is safer.
Absolutely. Emily, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a money coach? Have you always been like tip-top money mindset, or have you had to learn this yourself?
Oh, I think it's hilarious now when I post on my Facebook page about my business, because so many of my friends from school and from my early 20s are probably looking at it like, what? Like, Emily, you're like historically bad with money. So that was very much how I was in my early 20s, living my best life. And yeah, I mean, I grew up with not a lot of money, similar to you. So single parent household, we lived off benefits, we lived in a council estate. What little money came in, went back out again, which is an important thing to note, because I then went throughout my life and I went to uni and I had very clear career path in technical theatre, working my way up the career ladder. Like, I was on the West End, I was on touring shows, assistant stage manager, kind of looking to get, you know, into lighting or go into stage management. And I was earning good money. There's one thing about touring theatre, it's good money because you're on the road. So you get kind of reimbursed for the fact that you don't get to settle. And I was paid weekly. I was paid on a Friday, and by Wednesday the next week, I had no money. So even though I was being paid anything from £500 to £900 a week, that was gone within a few days. I had no rent. I lived on tour. I had almost no bills, and that money just poof, thin air. And to this day, I cannot tell you where that money went. And it wasn't until later on when I kind of ended up having to settle, well, not having to settle down, but I chose to settle down and realize that, okay, actually, if I don't keep on top of my spending, then I'm going to be in deep trouble. I think my kind of aha moment, or my oh shit moment, as I like to call it, was when I was applying for a second credit card because I'd maxed out my first one, just like surviving. So that was my aha moment, which made me kind of learn about paying off debt and all of that. My ADHD brain just went all in. So that's why I do what I do today. I just went all in on, I need to understand how I got here, like how I got to this point where I'm spending all my money on absolutely nothing. And yeah, when I came back and I thought about my upbringing, and even though money wasn't talked about very much, the kind of like money doesn't grow on trees, also the kind of, because we were, I guess, poor, the idea that, you know, more money was greedy, like people with more money are selfish. I was definitely told that as a kid. The primary thing that I think affected all my financial decisions was that money came in and it went back out. So as soon as I had money, even though it was a lot of money, it went back out because that's all my brain knew what to do, because that's all I'd been taught. So yeah, that was my catalyst for starting all of this.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what was the catalyst? And it was that you basically decided that you didn't want to live hand to mouth anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was that realization of like, if I don't fix this, then, I mean, this is just the second credit card that I'm applying for. And obviously I could see the credit limit I was going to get and how I was spending. And even in the credit application, I was thinking, I'm going to max this out in like 2-3 months, and then I need to apply for another one. Like, I had no game plan for paying it off. Like, I had no idea how to do any of it.
So Emily, tell me how money mindset can really affect your ability to have the business that you want to have.
So I think, as we've kind of described already with both of our like upbringing and our, I guess, our money story, how it affects both of us. And I think we have to not forget that personal thing. Like, I think so many people think business finances is like its own separate thing, and then there's personal finances, but it's also intertwined, because your money story, so those beliefs that we were brought up around money. So for me, money comes in, money goes out, but you just don't talk about it, don't think about it. That directly impacts our ability to make and manage money, both in our personal life and our business, because those are the money beliefs that we're holding on to. And every single financial decision that you make is going to be impacted by that. So whether you choose to invest in a coach, right down to whether or not you pick up an extra chocolate bar on your shopping trip. Like, every single financial decision, no matter how big or small, is impacted by your money beliefs. And if you have those money beliefs as well, like my mum taught me, which is, you know, when you have more money, like, that's greedy and selfish. And I think, especially as women, that's what we are socialized to believe. Like, you know, it's rude to talk about money. It's greedy to want more money. If we believe those things, then that is how we are going to treat money in our business. That is how we're going to potentially limit our earning ability because, and I've heard another business owner say this, and I don't think she's the only one that thinks this, which is, I can't make more money ethically. And I think that's a big, big one for a lot of business owners, especially women, because of how we're socialized around money. You know, because having more money is seen as, you know, the kind of the big wigs, you know, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. And it's like, how, those are the bigger questions, right? How could you be an ethical billionaire? Plot twist. Well, hint, you can't. But you can be an ethical business owner. And one thing I think a lot of us don't think about is having less money doesn't help anyone. So if you're worried about whether or not you're being ethical or not, undercharging isn't helping anyone. It's meaning that you're financially struggling, which means you're not able to make like clear financial decisions. You're kind of being proactive rather than reactive. And you're not potentially helping your clients either because you might actually have to go out of business. Whereas if you charge appropriately, the clients will be there. You can make sure that you earn enough money to be your best self, to have that safety around money. And also then you can help your clients better because you'll be able to run your business better. And also because you have more money, you can then give to causes that are important to you. So big takeaway for everyone listening, having less money doesn't help anyone. So charge appropriately.
Hell yes. Mic drop to that, Emily. I think there are so many people that really want a business. They really want a coaching business. They have the vision board. And, you know, I love a vision board. You love a vision board. But the big block is that they don't expect to make any money from it. And I feel like that belief, that thought really blocks them from having the business that they desperately want to have. For example, like, a lot of people aren't willing to spend anything on growing their business. They're downloading all the freebies, getting all the free stuff. But when it comes to, are they willing to invest in their business with the full trust that they're going to make a return on that investment? Not many people will. And do you know what? I put out a really low ticket offer a couple of weeks ago, and I had so many people jumping in saying, oh yeah, I'm really interested in this, Leanne. And then when I told them the price, which was under like £150, which is like under $200, I didn't hear from them. And I really wanted to go back, and I'm not about pushing sales at all, but there was part of me that was like, babes, like, you're coming into thinking about this offer with me. You're not thinking that you're going to make a return on that investment. But for me, I'm thinking, God, come and spend this £150 with Leanne, and I'm going to fucking get 10 times that. But so many people are going into thinking about investing in their business and they're not expecting to make any money. And I think that is a big difference between people that are able to sustain a business, not even sustain, but get it off the ground, and people that aren't. It's that we have done some mindset work and we trust that when we invest in something, we're doing it because we want to make a return on that investment. And I've made some huge investments in my business, mega investments, and I've made a return on every single one. And not just a return, like 3, 4, 5, 6, like mega, we're talking mega multipliers from investments that I've made. And I think that it's definitely a type of person who is either going to be like, no, I'm not spending even £20 on that because I'm not going to make any money. Or people that are like, yeah, it's 5,000. I'm going to make 10 times that.
Yeah, it's, my brain goes in two directions. The first is that thing of like, you obviously and me are coming at this from this point of view of like, we know if we invest in something, it's going to pay off. whether numerically, more money, by saving time, by, you know, that's how investing kind of works. A lot of people don't see that. I think there's not a lot of education around, or it's a mindset thing as well. Obviously, all this is about mindset, but it's that thing of like, we go through the education system and we are taught to be the perfect employee. We are not taught to be the perfect CEO, business owner. And in that equals that investing mindset. Actually, to be a business owner, you know, you have to spend money to make money. That's how it works when you're a business owner. And it's almost that risk reward. And obviously, people have different risk tolerances. If you have such little risk tolerance, there isn't going to be that big reward. So I would say it's that as well. So kind of how we are educated and how people are afraid to make that investment as well, because it almost becomes like that pressure is on yourself, right? So if I invest in coaching, yes, okay, I am investing with the idea that this coach is going to help me through giving me tactics, mindset work, strategy, whatever it is, but you still know that you're the one that has to put in the work. And I think there's that fear as well, especially if you have limited self-belief. If you think you're going to fail, then you're going to fail. That was the kind of second thought process that my brain went to when you're talking about that. Is it's really interesting that you describe these people as having vision boards. Because with a vision board, the whole idea is that you're visualizing what your future self looks like. But if that future self isn't actually doing that on the daily, like embodying that mindset of like, I'm going to get there. If you don't envision yourself winning, if you don't envision yourself making X amount of money, then you're not going to make X amount of money. If you limit yourself in your mind, you know, this isn't going to work, or, you know, I'm not going to set up a business bank account yet because like there's no point, then there will be no point. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to the rule sometimes, but generally speaking, the way your brain works is it's just going to seek to affirm what you tell it. So if you tell your brain, this isn't going to work, it's not going to work, because your brain is going to actively seek out opportunities to affirm that. You're then going to get in that cycle of, this isn't working, you're going to give it all up. But you can turn that on its head and train it the other way by telling yourself it is going to work, that you're going to make it work. And then your brain will seek to affirm that belief and it will seek out the positives. Now, it is harder to seek out the positives. We have something called the negativity bias in our brains, which is a lovely little hand-me-down from our ancestors, where kind of negative triggers were literally life or death nowadays. But still, what that kind of, how that manifests is, let's say you've had 100 clients and 99 of them have amazing positive results. You've changed their lives. You get one client who maybe had a bad experience, didn't put in the work, or you weren't the right fit, maybe gives you a bad review. That is going to hurt so much more. The negativity bias essentially means that negative emotions, we feel more strongly and our brain is quicker to affirm those. So we have to put in the work to be positive, to visualize the success, to affirm our success as well. Affirmations are a fantastic tool. And it is over time, we can't just do it once and forget about it, which is why sometimes vision boards don't work. You can train your brain to be successful, because you're just going to put yourself in the positions to meet that success if you believe in it.
Hell yes. Hell yes to all that, Emily. And when you are building a business, it's scary as hell, isn't it? And at every opportunity, your brain will want to put the brakes on and it will look for evidence that, oh, this isn't working, or you didn't get any likes on that reel, or no one's booking a discovery call. That means you should quit. It will be looking for evidence for you to quit and go back to doing what you were doing before in your uncomfortable comfort zone. It wants you to go back there. But at every point, you've got to actively say, no, I'm going for this. I'm not quitting. I know what you're up to, brain, but I'm not listening, because listening to you my whole life, and that's making me feel really unfulfilled. You've got to choose different thoughts, and you've got to choose different thoughts when it comes to making money in your business. Emily, what are some of your favorite thoughts to think about money?
Oh, see, this is one where this is going to be different for everyone. And my brain's like, I obviously now can't find. I have these like really cool affirmation cards, which I've shown you before, and now I can't find them.
Oh, I love your affirmation cards.
I know, my favorite one, I think, obviously, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it is along the lines of, the more joy I have, the more money I make. And I really like this idea of like making money can be fun and joyful. It doesn't need to be. I feel like we have this idea of making money as like being sat in front of a computer wearing a suit and typing away for hours.
Yeah. On Wall Street.
Yeah. And actually, I'm like, no, the more fun I have, the more money I make. So that's probably my favorite one. But like I said, it's different for everyone. And one thing I love doing as a money coach is every single person that comes to me, I try and create them affirmations, if they want to do affirmations, that are tailored specifically for them. And because we tailor them and make them like really specific to their wants, needs, goals, values, like everyone that uses them say that like it completely changes their life, even though they were skeptical in the first place, which so was I.
I love affirmations. One for everyone listening that I love is, when I believe my own hype, I make more money. You might hear that, listeners, and you might be like, oh no, that's not comfortable for me. But try and take that one on. When you believe your own hype, you make more money. And hell yes to women making more money, because the world would be such a different place if money was in the hands of more female founders like us, who, like, we want to create a ripple effect of positive change. That's why we're coaches, right? That's why we're mentors. Most of the people that have all the money in the world, they couldn't give a shit about that. Tell me, Emily, if you're listening to this podcast, and you're thinking, yeah, I need to check whether my money mindset is my money mindset on point? Like, what are the things that our listeners could do?
There's two tasks that come to mind, which I really like. One is a money beliefs task. So you're essentially going to write two lists. The first list is all the things you currently believe about money. So that might be that money doesn't grow on trees. I have to work hard for money. You know, I have to exchange more of my time to make more money. Wanting more money is selfish. All of those kind of things. Write them down on a list. Then what you're going to do is you're going to go through and you're going to imagine you're standing in a court of law. And you're going to essentially tell this, it's a bit of a visualization game, but imagine you're telling this belief to a judge. Would this stand up in a court of law? Is it actually true, is what I'm trying to get at? Or is it just a belief that is potentially not serving you? Then on the second list, what you're going to do is think about where you want to be in 1, 3, 5 years time, and write down the money beliefs that you need to have in order to get to where you want to go. And those beliefs that you write down, those are what you use as affirmations.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? The second task that I would do is write a letter to money. So imagine that money is a person, and just write a letter to money as if you're talking to them. You know, how they make you feel, how you wish they made you feel. And what's going to come up in that letter typically is one of two things. One thing you can usually find in that letter is, once you read it back, you realize that actually that letter is written to a person in your life. There's a relationship there that needs improving. It's probably going to be someone that also helped you around your current money beliefs. So someone a caregiver, you know, in your upbringing. The other thing that can happen is another emotion is going to come to the forefront of that letter, and almost like the letter is now to that emotion. So guilt, shame, those sorts of things. What you can do from those two points, if you are able to identify something like that, you can then write a letter again to that person or to that emotion specifically. How are they serving you? What do you wish was different? Now, if it's to a person, you don't have to go and actually send them that letter. It might just be that, you know, you burn the letter afterwards. It's like a way of releasing those thoughts and feelings, or you want to reflect back upon it. The letter task is really useful. You can come back and do this like every quarter, especially in your business, like how money has served you for that quarter, how you feel about it. It just helps make it more personal, which actually helps you bring out more of the emotions behind it and understand where maybe some of those emotions are coming from.
I love those ideas. I think that one of the money blocks or money beliefs that aren't serving people will be, no one wants to work with me. That is what a lot of people think when they're trying to build their business, isn't it? No one wants to work with me. Would that stand up in a court of law? Of course it would. The world is full of millions of people. There will be people that want exactly what you're selling, darling. That's fake news. It's not a belief that is going to serve you in your business. So get rid of it. Throw it in the bloody bin, because people will want to work with you somewhere. So another thing that I think we need to touch on, Emily, or we've figured out our mindset. How can we also set up our financial systems to really be the icing on the cake to this mindset of, everyone wants to work with me, more money is coming into my business, I'm going to hit my financial goals with ease this year? Even if you haven't had a paid client, or maybe you haven't had a 10K month, no shame, no guilt here. How would you go about setting up your system so that you can actually match that belief that you've got that money is coming?
The first thing that I would do is open a dedicated business account. So you're going to have your normal personal finance accounts, which are for life, and your business account. What I want you to kind of do is think about yourself as an employee of your business in terms of finances. Again, not in mindset, because you are the owner, you're the CEO. But in terms of your finances, for making it streamlined, is you're treating yourself as an employee. What that means is all the money that comes into your business bank account is not yours. It is your business's. That way, you can separate the responsibility and you can simply pay yourself once a month, once a fortnight, once a week, however works best for you, into your personal account. And then that's what you live off. That also means that whatever money is coming into your business bank account, you can separate out to do all the things you want to do. And again, you can do this with your personal finances as well. So think about, with a business account, you might have a tax pot or a tax savings account set up. That's 20% of every single thing that comes into your business goes into there. I like to have a owner's pay pot, because for me at this point in my business, making sure I can pay myself is one of the most important things. So let's say your percentage will be different for everyone, but at the moment, mine's around 50%. So 50% of everything that comes into my business, I'm talking every single little transaction, whether it's £1,000, whether it's £20, 50% goes into owner's pay pot. The rest are kind of divvied up between, so personally for me, I've got a pension pot, I've got like a business savings for building up kind of like business reserves and investments. And then whatever's left is like, that pays the running expenses of running my business. That, depending on the bank account you're using, can be automated. Mine is all automated. I don't touch a single thing in my business bank account. Then it's all set up to achieve all your goals. You can pay yourself, you can pay your tax bill, you can pay into your pension, you can pay your expenses, you can invest back into the business. That's all done. And then you have your money is coming to you in your personal life. You can manage your personal money separately. You can go on all your holidays, you can do your own investments, you can do your own savings goals, you can buy that house, you can treat your dog to a lovely grooming session. You can achieve all those things by just making sure that your finances are built up to achieve those goals. So separating everything is key.
We've got to do it. Even before you've made any money in your business, you can open a business bank account, right? Like, it doesn't cost a lot. I know that when I set up mine was like free for the first year anyway. Like, you can set this up. And guess what? That shows your brain that you're serious about making money. Like, how serious is your brain going to take it if you haven't even got a business bank account yet? That's telling your brain that you're not in it for the big time, right? There's so many choices that we can make to show our brain that this is going to be a huge success. And just set up that business bank account. Do what Emily said, and it will make such a difference. You're not going to feel stuck. You're going to be set up to actually bring clients in and make more money. And that's what we want, isn't it?
Big yes.
Emily, please tell us what you've got going on in your business right now. I know there's going to be loads of people listening that are like, right, I need more Emily time. I need to unfuck my money mindset. I need to set up my business to actually welcome money in. Like, how can we work with you?
So at the moment, I am launching a money coaching program for business owners. So this is for self-employed solo business owners that, I guess, want to do all the things that we've talked about in this episode. They want to get in control of their finances, stop winging it. They want to achieve all their big goals, but just don't know how. We go through building out all those money systems, like we talked about, strategies, pricing, and also the massive side of it, money mindset. So getting really deep into what are your current money beliefs, what do we need to change, and working on rewriting those. So that's called Cashflow Confident. That's currently in launch, which will be in intro price until the 23rd of May. I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but
it's coming out very soon. It's coming out before that.
There you go. Well, you've got a chance to go and look at it, Cashflow Confident. Or if it's more like, do you know what, business is, it's there, it's doing its thing, but actually personal finances, spending habits, all of that side of things, I have one-on-one money coaching for like improving your relationship with money, overcoming overspending. That's called Joyful Money Journey. And there is stuff coming out later in the year. So if maybe you feel like you've got the start of your money journey sorted, you know, you're not overspending, maybe you're paying off your debt and you're ready for that next step, then in late summer, I will be releasing a mastermind called Bloom. And that is all about blooming your wealth. So investing and all that fun stuff.
I'm very excited about that mastermind. Tell me what Bloom stands for, because I'm loving this title.
So build wealth, leverage debt, optimize investments, own assets, multiply your net worth.
Hell yes.
So if you want to do all those things, then come and join Bloom.
Of course. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to do that? You could do Cashflow Confident now and then do the mastermind Bloom in September. It's a perfect combo, right?
Get it all sorted and ready for 2025. Your finances are optimized and growing wealth, and you don't really ever have to think about it too much again. So it's a win.
Hell yes. Emily, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It has been enlightening. I love you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, people.
Bye.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you listen, and thank you so much for tuning in. Come and say hello to me on Instagram at _Leansia_. Head to leansia.com if you want the show notes. And if you are ready to build your rockstar coaching business sooner rather than later, come under my wing, darling. Just drop me a DM and we will rendezvous. Hello, my love. I know that you are ready to have the coaching business that's on your vision board. And I know you don't want to hang around and wait for months or even years to make it happen. So come into Supercharge. It is a mini mine starting mid-June with me. And for 4 weeks, we are going to do everything that we need to do to get your coaching business set up for success. We're talking niche. We're talking messaging. We're talking creating a beautiful brand, and we're talking creating a flagship offer and a lead magnet that is the runway to that offer. Come inside. I can't wait to see you in there. Check out the link that's in the show notes and get signed up, babes. I've got a seat waiting for you right beside me.